Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk.
Coming in already, too. Waiting on this shit. Man, a lot of people locking me. It's gonna be full tonight. Juveniles and criminal justice system, why they locking our kids up like they're crazy?
It. She says, hello, we conversate a bit. Invite her over for a candlelight dinner. Believe me when I tell you that this girlie is a winner. Shortly after that, I hear the doorbell ring. Turn on the radio, Anita Baker starts to sing. Open up the door and I kiss her on the cheek. She's so nice, polite, pretty, so sweet. Sit her on the couch and I remove her coat. Squat next to her, clear my throat. Whisper in her ear, tell her what she wants to hear. Let her know to have no fear. Heavy hair. And girls and girls and all. Take my hand, walk with me. I'm the imperial, overweight lover, MC Heavy D. Now that I've introduced myself correctly, do you have a moment to spend some time with me? Would you like a drink, maybe a pina colada, a strawberry daiquiri, some wine from Havana? It really doesn't matter, the choice is yours. And when you're through with your drink, we'll take a walk outdoors. Gaze at the stars, walk down the boardwalk. Sit by the beach and talk lovers talk. Make a quick call on my cellular phone. And pull the limousine to pick us up and take us home. Ah, an enjoyable night. The mood was smooth and everything was alright. It may be hard for you, but it's easy for me. Cause girls, the girls, the girls, they love me.
Girls, they girls, they love me.
He's always love a heavy D.
Hey, welcome back, family, for another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Got some hot stuff lined up for you tonight, a little hotter than usual, because you know what? I'm talking about your kids. I'm talking about your baby. I'm talking about those little ones that you took the time out to bring into the world, in particular, you young black babies. Got some hot stuff I want to put out there about the juvenile justice system, family. Mind blowing is about the extent that I can go to at this point until I get the facts out there. Y'all know I like to take the gloves off later on in the show. Before we do that, I have to support what I'm gonna do by putting these statistics out there. But before we do that, once again, you know, like always, family, I'd like to welcome and thank you all for tuning in to the show. I know, especially on a Friday night, there are plenty of places you could all be, but you chose to spend it here with me on EOTM Blog Talk Radio. And I'm very happy about that. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I mean that sincerely. Even my folks in the New Zealand area, that's right, family, we are international with this thing. We have family in the New Zealand area, and I shout them out every time I see them. We also have family in the UK that tune in. That's right, the UK that tune in to the show. We want to send mad shouts out to them, family, first of all, and acknowledge them because they are across the water, and if they can take a few minutes out, that says a lot. So we'll leave it at that. Let me get my normal acknowledgments out to Carla B., our fearless leader. Also, Ronnie, the first lady of GPT, who is her right-hand girl. Queen G., and we're not going to forget about our West Coast family. Man, we got a brother out there. His name is Jimmy E-O-T-M Baker. The brother's hot, real hot. Y'all should check him out on Facebook, Jimmy E-O-T-M Baker. He's on fire, family. Want to give shouts out to Queen G. She's on the West Coast. And also Sweet T. Of course, my man Ron here in the Atlanta area with me and his sidekick, Mother Jenkins. You know, for show information, family, www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. My personal email address, donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com, which, by the way, I guess I'm not picking the right topics, family, because when I put this topic out today, guess what? I got plenty of BlackBerry letters on this one. The call-in number, for those of you who are bold enough to call in and talk with me via online, 718-664-6543. I'm going to say it again, 718-664-6543. And I'm hoping that you'll call in with your comments and don't just inundate me in the blog rooms and instant message me now, because plenty of you guys have plenty of great comments. But for some reason, you're shy about getting on the air and saying what you need to say. Well, you know what? I'm shy, too. It just so happens that I'm the guy that's getting paid to do all this. But I'm definitely shy. So with that being said, you know, hey, don't feel bad. I'm shy. So now, with that being said, family, the blog room is open. The chat room is open. We do have it open for those of you who like to blog in your comments. Now, let me just get this thing rolling because we got a wealth of information on this particular topic, family. Oh, and also, by the way, for all you entrepreneurs out there, today is Call In Your Business Fridays. If you want to call in and shout your business out, be my guest because, you know, on Fridays, I like to support my entrepreneurs out in the communities. So if you want to call in, you got 60 seconds. You can shout your business out, give the family an idea of what you're doing, keep it real, keep it clean, and keep it quick, keep it moving, and we can make it happen. All right, family, what's going on with the kids in the juvenile system? That's the question I'm going to start out with on this today. What's going on with our kids in the juvenile justice system? Do any of you know of a kid that has ever been arrested and forced into a program deemed necessary by a judge, or a kid that grew up with an addicted parent or parents? Well, if you do, then I'm talking about that kid. That's right, that particular kid. Think about this. The entire criminal justice system is so dependent on the fact that people cannot separate or resolve issues. The question in my mind now becomes, where did the dependency come from? Follow me through on this, family. Where is this dependency coming from? Why and how do we become so codependent on the criminal justice system? I think it starts with the schools and the so-called juvenile justice system. That's right. I said the schools and the juvenile justice system. Now, if you all will follow me through this walk into the juvenile justice system, family, hopefully we can all talk about it and resolve some issues when it comes to our children in the criminal justice system. It's a serious factor. And I'm going to tell you why, family. As most of you all know, and I don't mind saying it, I work in the criminal justice system here in the state of Georgia, and I have literally seen families of children brothers and sisters come into the juvenile justice system and grow up in the system, and as adults become incarcerated, and watch them go to prison and actually supervise some of them on probation out on the streets. That's right. They grew up in the system. That's literally all that they know. But, you know, I don't look at it as if that's the problem. I look at it as if the problem or the issue is what's causing them to be in the system. Where were these kids failed? How were they failed? Who failed them? Because almost inevitably, when you're talking about a child, the most impressionable thing on the face of this earth, when you give a child who turns to committing acts that cause them to be locked up, even as juveniles, okay, and I'm not excusing their acts, and trust me, family, later on in the show, we're going to expose a lot of discrepancies with the juvenile criminal justice system, because a lot of us think that it's just in the adult justice criminal justice system, but that's not correct. And I'm going to tell you something else, too, family, later on in the show. A lot of people think that if you commit an act as a juvenile, your records are going to be sealed and it'll never be opened up and no one will hear about it because you're as a juvenile, you're considered to be delinquent. It's supposedly what the theory is, and the courts are saying, well, they want to concentrate on a more therapeutic approach to our children versus a criminal approach. It's why the juveniles are supposed to be given that leniency. But guess what, family? That's not always the case. As a matter of fact, in 99.9% of the time, that's not the case. And I'm going to tell you how I know later on in the show. And I'm going to tell you something right now. For those of you who want to call in and dispute what I'm saying, I'm going to welcome you to do that, especially some of you greedy little prosecutors and some of you defense attorneys out there who don't like some of the beans we're spilling, because you're going to take some change out of your pocket. Because guess what, family? A lot of times we go through things we don't have to go through. And I'm talking about the criminal justice system. Because a lot of people just assume that even because somebody was locked up, because they were, did X, Y, and Z, that they belong in the system. That's not always the case, family. These people are making money off of us. And I say it, and I say it as loud as I can. So that's where we're going with this thing. And later on in the show, family, I want to introduce some statistics, some startling statistics, about what groups, ethnic groups, I'm talking white, Latino, and black, because those are the three major groups, what the percentages are of your children that are being locked up and incarcerated. Which group is more likely to be locked up than the other? You're going to be surprised, fam. But then I know already, and I'm going to give you a hint. I know already a lot of people are saying, well, sounds like the black kids might be the ones getting the brunt of that. Well, guess what? By the numbers, they may be. But guess what? They're being closely followed by another group. And it's not about color anymore, family. It's about the almighty dollar. It's about the almighty dollar when it comes to the criminal justice system. Believe me when I tell you that, family. Believe me when I tell you that. But with that being said, let me put out some sweet tunes because we still have some folks chiming in and trying to get into the chat room. And guess what? You folks that are in the chat room, go ahead and send your comments. Let it flow. And let's get this thing going. When we get back, Mr. Don EOTM Adams is going to take the gloves off and let this thing rock. Hey, welcome back, family. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about juveniles in the court system today. And we had an interesting question already in the blog room from the lovely one. She wants to know, at what age is the cutoff point for there is no beginning age. What age what is the age range for how kids are being placed in a juvenile system versus, I guess, the adult system? The way that works is if a child under the age of 17, you can be 5 years old. If you commit a crime, they may put you in there, depending on what it is. And typically speaking, in Georgia, I think it's like around 7 or 8, depending on the nature of the crime. If it's one of the 7 deadly sins, they'll toss that out of the door, and the prosecutors will fight to charge that child as an adult. Now, I can't see them doing something like that to an 8-year-old, but typically they don't typically enter the system until they're about 8 years old. I've seen those children as young as 7 come into the criminal justice system, here in Georgia. But now, once they're 17 years of age, it depends on the crime. I mean, if it's something petty, misdemeanor, so to speak, they may sentence them as an adult, depending on what it is. Typically, age 16 to 17. But if they go out and commit one of the 7 deadly sins, what will happen is they'll more than likely be charged as an adult. And we may touch on one of the 7 deadly sins later on in the show. Good question. Good question. And once again, family, I welcome all questions about this particular topic. Here's the question: should juveniles be tried for crimes as adults? A rising number of juveniles under the age of 18 are not only being charged for crimes as adults, but are serving in adult jails. Imagine that, your child serving in an adult jail and serving life sentences. Every state has some mechanism in place that allows juveniles charged with certain types of crimes to be tried in criminal courts as adults. Thousands of children annually have been and are being automatically transferred to adult criminal court. Much of the change in the laws over the past few decades making it easier to try youth as adults has been in part due to the increase in juvenile crime and the public outcry over particularly violent crimes and, as a matter of fact, repeat offenders, repeat juvenile offenders. All right? The most common increases in juvenile crime have been noted with the respect to gang violence, school shootings, increases in drugs in youth neighborhoods, and even increases in bullying in most amongst your peers. That's right. The last one I missed was bullying, because recently certain states, Georgia included, have instituted laws that criminalize bullying. So here's where we're going with this thing. Well, before I take the gloves off, let me go a little further into this. Because I'm going to take the gloves off, and I want to blast that for sure, family. An estimated, and this is according to a 1998 Bureau report of Bureau of Justice Statistics on juvenile felony defendants in criminal courts, an estimated 7,100 juvenile defendants are charged with felonies in adult criminal courts per year. Okay? 7,100 juvenile defendants. These are kids that have been transferred to adult court. Because for most of you who all don't realize it, as a kid, if you're charged with a crime, if you're charged with an offense, it's called a status offense. It's what it's called, family. And it becomes a criminal offense if the prosecutor decides that we're going to charge this child as an adult. Then it becomes a criminal offense, and they try to charge them as adults, and they transfer them from the juvenile system to the adult system. That's important for us to understand that. In criminal courts, in these 40 counties, in 40 counties, juveniles, 64% are more likely than adults, 24% to be charged with a violent felony. What am I saying, family? Our kids are getting more and more violent. These juvenile defendants are generally treated as serious offenders, as 52% did not receive pretrial release. For those of you who don't know, pretrial release means that there are programs set aside that they use for adult offenders to push them out of the system prior to letting them go through the gamut. In other words, they're charged, they're allowed to participate in some type of program rather than going through the criminal justice system, not necessarily pleading guilty, but saying, hey, listen, I made a mistake, I did something wrong here. What I want to do is just participate in this program, and then we can go from there, and instead of having this person go through the issues of a trial or pushing them through the criminal justice system, they're called pre-trial release programs in most jurisdictions. 63% of the kids that are arrested are not allowed to participate in these programs, family, if they have a felony offense on them. Why not the kids? Why not? And 43% of those convicted receive a stiff prison sentence. These are kids now, mind you, kids, family, all right? States have expanded the mechanism by which juveniles can be charged in criminal courts. In 1998, statutory exclusion was the most common method. Okay, statutory exclusion was the most common method that states are using to try kids as adults. 42% used to charge juvenile defendants, compared to the more traditional use of the juvenile waiver. 24% used that waiver. About two-thirds, 66% of the juvenile felony defendants in the 40 large counties in this country are convicted. Listen to that again, family. These are your kids. About two-thirds, that's 66% of the juvenile felony defendants in the 40 large counties, the 40 largest counties in this country, okay? 60% of these kids are convicted when they're charged of a felony or misdemeanor offense. That means that your child has a 66% chance of being convicted of a felony and walking through the rest of their life with the flag of felony on their back. Now, we did a show last week about convicted felons, and we talked about the rights that they don't have and how they're mistreated and tossed around by society because they made a mistake, even though they paid their debt to society. The term paying your debt means nothing anymore. It's crap because they want to hold you accountable for the rest of your life. Now, family, I'm going to tell you something. I cannot see a pedophile going to apply for a job at a child care center. I just can't see that happening. Get out of here with that. That's a bunch of crap. Hell no. But now, if someone made a mistake and wrote a check just over $500 and it bounced and they felonized them, now they can't get a job in just about anything. Now they can't apply for school. Now they can't do anything but going to business as an entrepreneur. What sense does that make for them to felonize your child at whatever age they are, as a juvenile, okay? And then send them through the rest of their life when, in fact, there are many, many pretrial programs that are in place that have been proven to work for adults, okay? Adults now. These are people that have their mind set on what they want to do. But adults are given the privilege of going through many of these pretrial diversion programs. And the juvenile system, they're going to try to say that they call them something else. But believe you me, family, when a judge hits the gavel and says, you know what, I'm going to make a decision from the bench based upon what I see on paper. Because let me tell y'all something, family. Anybody can make you look bad on paper. These people, on paper, I look like John Dillinger, okay? But folks that know me out there know better. But on paper, I look like the worst thing walking. It can happen to anybody. But let's just look at the reality of it. When you have a judge who handles anywhere up as a 400 to 500 cases a month, if not more, and he's making decisions about what programs or what places your child is going to go based upon what he's reading and based upon what a prosecutor is sitting on the other side of the table whose only interest, unfortunately, is his rate of success when it comes to convictions. That's right, when it comes to your child. They're only concerned about the rate of success that they have when it comes to convictions. You follow me through, family? If they're making decisions about where your child is going to go, think about that. The best interest of the child. In 1998, in the 40 largest counties in the United States, 62% of the juvenile felony defendants were black, 20% were white, 16% were Hispanic, and almost 2% were of another race. I'm going to say it again, family. In 1998, in the 40 largest counties in this country, 62% of the juvenile felony defendants were black, 20% were white, 16% were Hispanic, and almost 2% were of another race. Two-thirds of your juveniles prosecuted in criminal courts were charged with violent felony offenses, including robbery, 34% with assault, 15% with murder, and 11% were actually molestation cases, family. That's right. They picked those cases up, too. About a sixth were charged with felony property offenses. For the remainder of juveniles in criminal courts, the most serious arrest charge was drug offenses, 14%. And by the way, family, for those of you who don't know, drug offenses amongst our children are on the rise. Do not stick your heads in the sands about this one. They are on the rise. kids are doing more and more drugs. They're doing some crazy things. But guess what? I don't think the issue in my – and by the way, before we get too far into this, I just want to make sure I put this out there. My shows are always rated M for mature. It doesn't mean that we're going to get on here and say some more violent and crazy cuss words and all the above. But guess what, family? I want you to know that this is a mature rated show. Your children should listen. Of course, I believe that. But on the other hand, I also want you to know that my thoughts and opinions are mine. They're not necessarily reflective of all the other hosts and folks connected with EOTM. So I don't want you to think that, you know, they all think the way I think. I'm a little bit of a liberal, and I can be a radical, but that's me. That's what they hired me for. So for those of you who disagree with me, I welcome you to call in. The number is 6718-664-6543, or you can turn your computers off. You know, I welcome the conversation, and I'm just keeping it real, family, because y'all know that's just what it is with me. But, you know, listen at the numbers, family. 64% of these kids are black. You know, let me tell you something. When I advertised for this show, one of the things I put out there was that, you know, when are we going to be free? And, you know, I know that my Caucasian brothers, and I'm not going to leave them, and our Hispanic sisters and brothers out there are going through some of the same things that we're going through, but not by the numbers. Here's the deal, family. Our scholars and our black communities have known for years, okay, that the demasculinization of black male children starts in grade school. Okay, I'm taking the gloves off, family, for those of you who know how I am. It starts in grade school. This is one of the reasons why the Minister Farrakhan, and I don't agree with everything that Minister Farrakhan says, but you know what? I agree with 75 to 80% of it because, you know, he's speaking a lot of truth. And it's truth, in my opinion, that's not hard to find if you just open your eyes and just look over your shoulder. But here it is. They take our children, they take our parents, and they convince us that it is the right thing to do, is the only thing to do, is to send them to their public school system, where these children are made to be subjected to someone else's style of education, someone else's style of reading, and someone else's thoughts and opinions. Family, they are molding the thoughts and opinions of our children, and so much so. Think about this. Religion is no longer in the school. We didn't make that choice, did we? I'm sorry, did we? Religion is no longer part of the school system. Black history only has 1 month. American history has a whole year, and then you got to take it again. And then you got to take it again next year. But black history is just 1 month out of the year. There's so much history out there that's just tossed out. And I'm going to tell you, to me, it's a part of the system. They don't want you to feel like you are better than or more than what you are. They want to mold your thoughts. I remember a teacher telling me when I was in school that I would never go to college, that I would never get into school. I remember her telling me that. And you know what, family? I did it. And for a long time, I didn't think I could. But I saw kids who made worse grades than I did. I saw kids who never went to school that they were telling, oh, you can do it, you can do it. You see where I'm going with this thing, family? And at some point in my life, growing up, I thought that I was worthless because I was black. I thought that the other people were better than me because I was black. This didn't come from my own. This came from those people in the schoolhouse. I had to learn later on in life that it was a system in place. I had to learn that. This is real talk, family, okay? And once I realized that, the sky for me became the limit. I'm currently working on my master's in forensic psychology, which I'm very proud of. Family, let me tell you something. The school system is where it starts. They're taking our children, and our black male children in particular, and they are molding their thoughts and taking away their drive to want to be successful. This is why the Minister Farrakhan stood up and said one thing that I absolutely agree with. You need to educate your own if you can. Now, I'm going to say this. Now, I'm not going to leave out our Caucasian brothers out there because you know what? They're going through the same thing too. Just not as bad as we're getting it. It's called status because I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to the juvenile criminal justice system as well as the adult system, it is no longer broken down by color. Listen to me carefully, family. There are more black individuals out there who will probably get it worse than the whites or the Hispanics. But when it comes to the whites and the Hispanics, if they are not economically set in a certain bracket, they are going to be left to the same fate that we are left to. This is why it's important. You understand, family? That's real talk. Real talk. Now, any comments in the chat room? Any comments from the listeners? Anybody want to call in and top it up with me about it? 718-664-6543. I welcome your comments. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And it's time for me to pay some bills and give y'all some time to choke on that, or chew on that, should I say. And we'll be back with some more statistics, because, Stanley, I'm going to blow your socks off when it's over with. Stay with us.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Hey y'all, it's here, it's finally here, the buzz is here. What is the buzz?
ELTM Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with ELTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten, Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase net worth.
Read ELTM Buzzwire magazine each month at eltmbuzzwire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
I know y'all thought y'all was going to get the full effect of that, but we're going to say that until later in the show. Welcome back to the Don Adams Trivia Talk Show. I love public enemy, baby. We're going to get it all later on. Please believe that. Welcome to the Don Adams Trivia Talk Show. We're talking about the juvenile justice system and the devastation that it's causing in our communities, and particularly in the Black community and in the Caucasian community. That's right, I said the Caucasian community, because many of those folks, our Caucasian brothers, are in shackles as well. Believe that when I tell you that. We have a caller on the line, and we're going to open it up. 404-805, you're on the line at Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Go ahead with your comments, please.
Hello. Hi. My name is Cherie, and I have a 24-year-old son, and I'm an entrepreneur myself. I continuously tell him about the system and tell him that I'm very afraid that once he could get into the system, he couldn't get out. And I remind him of this. I wish he was listening to it. You are speaking the truth. We have to protect our males in particularly, and not to say not females as well, but especially our Black males, because I feel there's a, you know, I'm just speaking the truth now. I feel that there's a propensity to get them out of competition. So if we can take them out in their the economics to broaden the prisons and things like that because it's a moneymaker, that will continue to go on. I mean, people are using any means necessary as it relates to making money. That's basically my comment, and I support what you're saying wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your comment, and I appreciate your forthrightness in coming up and wanting to talk about your situation. You know, I'm certainly glad to hear that. But, you know, you're absolutely right, too, as well. And I think that that has a lot to do with it, the competition factor, where, you know what, you know, and you mentioned something that was very key. And I don't want to leave it out there and sound as if our black females and our white females are not a part of the system. They're just not as inundated with it as we are. And the reason why is because they're not considered to be as much of a threat as we are. Mm-hmm. This is why in the balance of things, in most cases, black women in particular, and I'm not shouting you out because I feel like black women shouldn't have gotten it. I think you deserve it because on the face of this earth, let me tell you something, y'all have been dogged out more than anybody has, even more than I have. I can tell you that 100%. But you guys have made great strides, and I'm glad to hear that. And you've done so quietly. You didn't make a lot of noise when you did it. You snuck in there and went to school and took advantage of the things that were given to you. Whereas while they were focusing on us, the brothers out here on the street, y'all made some powerful strides. So, but we don't want to leave our sisters out there because they're in the system as well. But you know what? I think, and I don't want to, like I said, I'm not going to harp on the sisters as much, but I will say this. I think that a lot of the issues that are affecting our black women are not as, and I don't want to take away from them, but I don't think they're as difficult to resolve because women are more emotional with their situations. And, you know, and it's so very easy for that scale to be tipped with them, missing a father here, missing a father there, or some other things that trigger some things. And I found this out while working in the criminal justice system. Is that in most cases when women have gone to jail, especially our younger girls, when I've had a chance to sit down and counsel with them, because I've been counseling for a little while here, you know, it's usually some emotional something that's triggered this, you know, and that's sad to say. But, you know, and I don't want to get too far into that, but you're right. Our women are not targeted. Our black men are. But here's the thing. It's a phenomenon out there. And check it out. Our Caucasian brothers, they're targeted as well. Because those folks have said, you know what, we're making money off these brothers out here that we're locking up. But guess what? If we lock up some of these white guys out here that don't have money, that's sitting to a social economic status, imagine how much more money we can get. This is also one of the reasons why I also believe that they're making such a huge push to do something about the immigration issue in this country. Because I'm going to tell y'all something, family. The immigrants in this country have been here for years, quietly doing their jobs, doing whatever they do. Now, I don't believe they should be here illegally. But here's the thing. The system has gotten so greedy, they're now focusing on locking up Hispanics and anybody else that they can tag and say, oh, you're an immigrant, you're here illegally. They're greedy. They're out of control. And it's starting with our juveniles family. They're starting to groom our boys so that they will accept the bondage of the mind, meaning they will accept the chains on their minds that is going to be put onto their minds later on in life. It's a process. Let me tell you something, folks. When they brought us over here for slavery, we didn't just come over here and they took those chains off and we were just okay with that crap. Let me tell you something. Them black folks was fighting them people. They're not going to tell you about that. Them black folks was fighting. And let me tell you something. There's a generational gap for a reason. They had to separate the children from the original Africans that were here because they had too much fight. They had to die out. And then come back. And then come back and re-raise the children. And I'm going to tell you something, family. I don't believe in the Willie Lynch letter. I think it's a phony. I'm just going to put it out there. I think it's a phony. I think it's just another crutch that they put out there for folks to reach on and say, well, this is why we act the way we act. That's a bunch of crap. I'm going to tell you why. Because no man or woman or situation has the right to dictate your future. You dictate your own future by your actions and how you live your life today. You follow me? This is why on this show we talk about child support issues. We talk about all it. We talk about all you vengeful mothers and fathers out there that decide that you want to use the system to beat down your men and women. This is a part of that. You follow where I'm going? The chains. Follow me on this, family. This is deep. What do you think about that, Sherry?
Oh, I agree. Actually, I happen to be on the flip side of a little bit more support on the male side as it relates to. I've seen some very good men that have fought for custody and just the ability to stay in their children's lives and women that have used the system to take advantage of that man's love for their children. I think that's wrong. I happen to be raised by my father. He did a very good job. And I think it should just be fair, and it shouldn't be a gender situation. It should be whoever's the best for it, and I think it should be equal. So because mm-hmm. of my experience, I actually I think that the scales tip towards the women, and a lot of times it's not fair in that respect. And I know a lot
of popular comments,
but I've seen it for my own.
Well, you know, you sound like you're a little afraid to speak your mind, but I'm going to tell you this. On this show, we speak our minds. I am a trained mediator here in Georgia, and this is the tactic that I use. I allow people to come in and speak your mind. There is no limits. There are no governing mechanisms on how you choose to speak your thoughts. The only thing I ask is that you don't use a lot of profanity, because we do have kids out there listening. But with that being said, I want you to speak freely, sister, because I really feel like you have a lot going on that you want to talk about. I can kind of sense that in your voice. And I'm not offering you a counseling session. I'm just saying, hey, you can get it off while you're on this show. Let me say this to you, family. I'm going to say this to you, family. These are the people that I believe are the causes of why we have so many of our children that are lost and getting caught up in the system. Family members, friends, other kids, co-workers. But here's the big boom right here, family. The daggone church, the church, the folks that are supposed to be there to socially help us the most. Do you not know that in the city of Atlanta, on just about every block you go to, you see a church? And do you not know that on Sundays the pastor is in the church house dressed in his beautiful robe and he's looking for money? But let me ask you something, folks. When Jesus was here, one of the things he mentioned was that the work wasn't supposed to be done in the church, it's supposed to be done out of the streets. Saved folks don't need to be saved. The folks out in the streets are the ones that need to be reached. Now, here's the deal, and this is where I'm going. With all these children, and Mike Bazin is doing a wonderful thing because he's traveling the cities and he's reaching out to some of these young boys that are out there, and he's trying to reach these kids. He's going to 71 cities. He's doing a great thing. But here's the thing. Why do we always have to sit back and count on one person to do the right thing for me? You understand what I'm saying? Why can't we hold up our heads and take accountability for what we need to take accountability for? That includes all you parents out there that want to use your children against the other parent. That includes all you folks out there who have children who live across the street and have decided that you want to raise your child while the other people struggle. That includes all you people who will sit back and talk crap, hide up under the sheets, and point fingers, and you judicial folks in particular. I'm going to get on them, too, because I'm going to put some stuff out there about why they're locking your kids up. Did y'all know that they're making money off your kids the same way they do off the adults? They get a paycheck for how many kids they process in and put inside the jail. But for you judicial folks, because what a lot of people don't realize is this, is that the judge has the authority when he reviews the case and uses proper judgment, in my opinion, and reviews the case and says, you know something, this kid has got some other, and can say, you know what, I'm going to order X, Y, and Z, and help the family. Instead of attacking the child and saying, we're going to put this child in court, put the family in counsel. The judge has the authority to do that. But why don't we? Because we focus on what? The kid, so much so to the point, we forget about the root cause of the problem. There's a reason why this child is acting out. There's a reason why this child doesn't want to go to school. There's a reason why this child is angry. You follow where I'm going, family? There's a reason why the numbers are higher in the black community than they are in the other communities, too. You follow where I'm going? Because they're getting our young men primed, and they're getting you ready so that when the police pull you over when you're older, you won't fight.
You know what to do, right?
You're going to know. You're going to get out of the car, and you're going to put your hands down. And you're going to get on the car, on the concrete, and you're going to let them put the cuffs on you. So we're being socialized to be codependent upon the system. And it starts from birth if you're black. But, you know, I'm not going to forget about my Caucasian folks out there. It doesn't start from birth for them. Let me tell you where it starts. It starts when they start making bad choices, and I don't mean to isolate them, but bad choices along the lines of when they are now viewed as less than because of their economic status. That's when you find them getting chopped up in it. Okay? And that's a fact. What do you think about that, Sherry?
I agree 100%. I mean, I agree. As an entrepreneur, this is turning into the haves and the have-nots, you know, and if you fall into the have-nots, nobody wants to hear how you failed. You down, you know, and white, black, green, purple, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. You're underclass. It's turning into like a third world country we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at an article that came in when I did the research on this show. It says that schools suspend or expel black kids more often, okay? You know, this came out of Lansing, Michigan, this article right here. And for those of you who like to follow what I'm reading, this is by Danielle Emerson. It's in the Capital News Service. It's the name of the agency that put the news, people that put this out. It's by Danielle Emerson. You know, she says that youth of color are disproportionately suspended and expelled from public schools across Michigan, according to the Civil Rights, the Civil Liberties Union. Its report said that they are therefore three times more likely to enter the juvenile justice system and face harsher consequences than white youth are. The report tracked the suspension rates in 40 districts in Macomb, Wayne, Oakland, Washington. I'm going to butcher this up a little bit. Muskogee and Alpine and the Alpine counties up there. Okay, I know I butchered some of that, but that's okay. For example, the ACLU found that during 2008 school year, at Van Dyke in the Van Dyke School District in Macomb County, black students accounted for 32% of middle and high schoolers, but received 58% of the short term suspension. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I'm going with this, family. In my mind, they are taking our children. They are taking our children, and they are grooming them and teaching them to buy into what's called the system. Here's where I'm going with this, family. Let me just jump forward for a little bit. You take the children, and you teach them to understand, you teach them that there are laws, rules, and there's an authority in place above them. They bow down and respect that. Then you take away the fact that, you know, I don't want you to think along those lines. I want you to think along the lines that I'm going to guide you. You can be a plumber. You can be a this. You can be a that. This is true. This is true. Teachers have done this. Now, here's where I'm going. When these children become adults and they start to realize, you know what, I'm smarter than this, because there were people that came before me that looked like me that were very intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
If they're fortunate enough to have someone in their life who will light that bulb for them. And then what happens is they go through an angry stage. And it's like, well, you know what? Why wasn't I told this? Why didn't I know this? Now they're behind the curveball because now they got to play catch up. Now
mm-hmm.
they got to play catch up. But here's mm-hmm. the thing. They've been taught to respect the system.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're out there trying to struggle to do what they need to do and they're angry, they make some bad choices. Guess what? Now we're going to felonize you. We're going to put you in the system. Now we're going to walk you through that. Now realizing a lot of people, let me tell you something. This is the saddest thing about this whole thing. I've traveled around the world and been to many different countries. Do you not know it is a shame for any of you within the sound of my voice to not know and understand the system, the criminal justice system that you live and operate under? It is a shame. Do how many of you know that the police have a limited amount of questions that they can ask you? How many of you know that you don't have to let them search your car? That it's
mm.
not mandatory for you to do that. How many people know
mm.
that? Of course, your kids aren't going to know it because they're juveniles. And let
mm.
me tell you something, family. When I say it starts from birth, believe me, it starts from birth. What do you
mm.
think about that, Sherry?
I agree. Actually, I spent time as a contractor in Compton and Watts in South Central, and it was my first time being in a serious hood. And I got a chance to – I was appalled. I remember the first time my husband and I was pulled over. I'm like, well, what are they doing? You know, to put your hands up. I'm like, no, I'm just going for the glove compartment to show that we – you know, the papers on the car and everything. It's like, put your hands up. He knew his environment. I didn't know. I could have gotten my head blown off just because I was doing what in my mind was showing, hey, you have to go through due process, and I'm showing
mm-hmm.
you the car belongs to – us and me and things like that. But I was in the wrong situation not to know. Do you know I could have just been a dead black woman and nobody
Sherry,
would have known the difference.
Mm, interesting. Hold on, Sherry. We got another.
That's what it hurt. Right.
We have another caller that wants to come on.
Okay.
909, you're on the air. You're on the air with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Go with your comments, please.
Hey, Don Adams. This is Carla B. I'm actually here with some of my friends, and we're doing like a listening party, so we don't have any comments as a guest,
okay.
But we're listening in, and I'll shoot you an instant message. But, yeah, great show. I want to touch on something at the latter part of the hour, but I'll let you know, but keep doing your thing. Good stuff.
Okay, well, Taylor, stay tuned, because like I said before, you know I love statistics, and you know I like to save the bombshells for later. family, if you're listening, I have not released the bombshells. I have not taken the gloves off yet. So please stay tuned because I'm going to blow you away. You're not going to sleep well tonight. But thank you, Carla. I'm going to go ahead and mute you out, and then when you're ready, you let me know, okay?
Cool beans, thanks.
All right. So go ahead, Sherry. I'm sorry for interrupting you on that, but go ahead, Sherry.
No, I was just saying it was my experience. I hadn't lived in the hood exactly like that. And when I experienced that and I saw him spread all over the side of the car for no good damn reason, excuse my mouth, I'm sorry, and I was appalled. I was appalled. I'm like, you can't, I'm thinking this like maybe idealistically thing that you can't do this, you have no probable cause, but they doing it. And these were the police. And
well, you know what?
That was before Rodney King, of course, you know, but still, you can see my vibe. You can see what's going on. I was 101, some of the systems as it relates to that, how it really happens in the hood and what goes on and what most people don't see if you're not black and you don't wear the skin, what they don't experience, what we experience. And I was hurt. I was shocked. Also, it was a learning experience. So, I mean, I learned, but, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair.
Well, you know what? Let me say this to you, and I'm glad you brought that up. Imagine this. You're an adult. And so are all you rest of you listeners out there, hopefully. But your kids are sitting right there. Now, I want y'all to play question and answer with each other, all the kids and the adults that are in the room. Now, adults, I want you to ask the kids if they know what their rights are, if they know what the police have the right to ask them if they're driving and operating the car. Because nowadays, kids are driving at the age of 15. I want you to ask the kids if they know whether or not they can refuse to let the police search their car. Now, kids, I want you to ask the adults, what exactly is it that the police have the right to ask you when they pull you over? This is important. We'll come back to that in just a second. Because my point is going to be this. You're a grown woman, and you had no idea that this crap was going on. America had no idea this crap was going on with Rodney King. But let's take it down a level. What about these kids? What about our juveniles? What about these kids that are out here on the streets that don't even know their rights? What about these kids that are being railroaded into the system? And I'm going to tell you something. The attitude of the system when it comes to juveniles is so relaxed, it's crazy. I know because I've worked in it. You know, they'll lock them up quick, run them through the system, give them an ID number, and guess what? State's getting paid for them. Then they'll take them home because in most cases they have to take them home and release it to the parents anyway. And then they have to turn around and go to court. Then the judge will turn around and say, well, you know what? I want to sentence you to some time at RYDC or the Youth Detention Center. Now, here's the thing, family. Depending on what county that they go to, they're either going to be in Club Med or they're going to be in Club Hell. You follow what I'm saying? Absolutely. If you go to one of these black counties like DeKalb County, let me tell you something right now. Everything that's going on in the adult system is going on over there in DeKalb, RYDC. Follow me close? I'm talking about rapes. I'm talking about the whole nine. You understand me, family? When people think about the fact that their kids are being placed in a juvenile initiative, well, I'm teaching them a lesson. Well, let me just explain something to you. What you really may be teaching your child, because if adults go to prison and they come out being better criminals, then what do you think will happen to your child? Because they end up learning from other little people who think they have the right answers to what's going on. You follow where I'm going with this, family? So while you're trying to teach them a lesson, what exactly are you really teaching them? Now, I asked a question earlier in the show, right? Kids, did you ask your parents the question of what it is that the police are supposed to be asking you when you're going somewhere and when you're not going somewhere, when they pull you over? Well, here's the answer. They're not supposed to be asking you squat when it comes to where you're going because it's not their business. When a police officer pulls you over and you're a kid riding a car, you know what they're supposed to do? Let me see your driver's license and your insurance. And at that point, you have to provide that to them. Now, because you're operating the vehicle, you have to provide them with a driver's license, and it must be valid. Now, kids, pay attention. If you're driving and the police decide they're going to arrest you because you don't have a valid driver's license, here's the kicker, kids. Now they can search your car. So all that marijuana and that weed you got up in there, they're going to take you to jail and charge you with it. But now if you don't allow them to search your car, kids, guess what? They can't search it. And it doesn't matter whose car it is because in any state that you go to, if you're operating the vehicle, the law assumes that you have been given the care and custody of the vehicle as long as it's not in a system as rated as stolen. So guess what, kids? They can't search your car. You tell them, no, thank you, officer. I'm not going to authorize you to search the car. They may try to intimidate you. That's the game. They may try to say, well, I'm going to do X, Y. Well, guess what? If you want to insist upon doing that, I'm a minor. Can I call my parents? And you get your parents out there. You get your parents out there, all right? Because, see, for a kid, when you want to call your parents, that's almost the same thing as saying I want a lawyer. Okay? Mm-hmm. When you say, I need my parents out here, they got to let you call your parents because you're a minor. You understand? Now, what was the other question that we asked? Hold on a second. We got a question in the blog room. We're going to get to that in just a second, Coco Diva. Here's the other half of this family. Now, we said to the kid, family out there, when do the police have a, what was the other question? When do the police have the right to search your car? Well, I just answered that. They don't. They don't.
Mm.
They don't have a right to do that. We have a question here. Since you have a law enforcement background, you know things most citizens do not, including myself. Okay, Coco, you know, you might be right. But here's the thing, Coco. Most of the things that I'm talking about, these are things that I am, in my community, I am pushing for to have people taught in schools. We have all sorts of programs. We got homemaking. We got gym. We got volleyball. We got football programs that they spend millions of dollars on. Hell, we got history programs. I mean, they don't even include black people's history. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, let's go put it out there. We got so much, so many things going on in our school system. Why can't we have a criminal justice program where we level the playing field and we not only educate people about the criminal justice system that we live in, especially our kids, Because I'm going to tell y'all something. Think about it. It starts from birth. They teach you how to fold into the system. Then they put those chains on you. And guess what? By the time you're 18 and you're going to jail, you know the routine. And you're not going to fight as hard. You're going to lay on the ground and you're going to let them pay. Mm-hmm. You're not going to fight as hard. But here's the thing, Coco. I love your question. Why can't we just say, you know what? Put it in the schools. But just like Jantine said, we can research these things. The laws are made public. You know why? You know why? What happens with these greedy little people that are in Congress? They pass little laws without you knowing it, and sometimes they keep it quiet. They may put up a child support law and put some other underlining things under it and then harp on the child support aspect of it and pass some of these little laws. But we all have the right to read these laws. If you have a question about anything, what you do is you talk. Everybody's computer savvy that's listening to the show, Google it. Google it up. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Bam, there you go. At the end of the day, there's your answer. And if you don't understand it, everybody knows a lawyer, an attorney. Hell, my personal email address, donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com. Family, if you have a question, and I can answer it for you because I have lawyers at my disposal, both here at EOTM and based upon the profession that I work in because I am a mediator, family. I have lawyers that I can contact and ask that question who don't mind answering these questions for me. And we'll get you an answer. Send me the question, family. DonAdamsTalkShow@EOTM.com. And we'll get you an answer. For those of you who don't know, and here is Coco Diva again. She says, you're right, Don. There should be more about common laws in schools, in a school system. Here's something that you said, Coco Diva, that makes a lot of sense, people. Check this out. Everybody knows I'm talking about laws here and laws there, right? Check this out. There's a thing called common law, and there's a thing called statutory law, okay? The difference is if you live in one of those ass-backward states like North Carolina or somewhere up in, give me another one, North Carolina or somewhere in Virginia where these folks don't see sun. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about places where Georgia's not a Commonwealth state. I'm talking about those states. But listen, I'm talking about those states where you got those folks that wake up and they don't brush their teeth for weeks at a time. And then they walk around and thinking these are serious rednecks. And I ain't talking about white folks. I'm talking about black rednecks, too. I'm talking about rednecks across the board. Let me tell y'all something. At the end of the day, these Commonwealth states, let me tell you something. You know how what common law is? Common law means that we're going to make a ruling on your case based upon how we treated this other guy over here because your case is similar to his. You follow what I'm saying? So, family, that means if your kid is in one of these states and he goes to jail for, let's just say, hitting somebody in the head, because here in Georgia we had a case where a kid got hit in the head with a balloon full of bleach and is messing his eyes up. And let's say this kid goes to jail, and then your kid comes behind and he does something similar. He hits somebody with a balloon, but it doesn't do as much damage. Guess what? Based upon common law, they're going to sentence your kid to the same thing that they sentenced the other kid to because he did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying, family? Whereas in most states where statutory law, well, guess what? It gives the judges and the prosecutors and those folks that play around in the courtroom a little bit more leeway. Follow where I'm going, family? They don't have to necessarily say, it gives them a little more leeway to deal with the circumstances of your particular case, which brings me to this part of the show. These greedy-ass judges, I'm sorry, these ignorant-ass judges and these greedy prosecutors. Family, let me tell you something. A lot of folks think that because the judge and the prosecutors rule a certain way, well, they had to know what they were doing. They're the judge. They're educated. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what, folks? Guess what? We got a judge right here in Georgia who's been on the bench for the last 50 years. Come to find out, this joker ain't even a daggone lawyer. Guess who he is? He's just a judge who graduated high school and took a couple of classes. Well, needless to say, they're getting him out of here. Okay? He's gone. He's gone, family. But here's where I'm going with this, family. Here, hold on a second, Sherry. Here's where I'm going with this, family. Y'all need to realize that, you know what, these prosecutors that are in court handling your children are not in this business to help your children. When we talk about the adult criminal justice system and we talk about the adults that are in the system, I want you all to understand that these people are out for their record, meaning if I get all these prosecutions, if I get all these prosecutions, I'm going to look good. People are going to elect me, and I'm going to be able to drive my BMW. I'm going to be able to live off in the Cascade area, and I'm going to look good in my $500 suit. That's what they give a shit about. And believe me, people, we get so inundated with Law and Order, with these shows on TV, and I can't help tell you how many times. Stop watching these shows, family. These shows are made for TV. That's not real life. And unfortunately, you know, here's the most unfortunate thing about this, family. We don't get to understand this until it happens to us.
Yep. Right.
We don't get involved until somebody comes over and takes your son or your daughter off the streets and they put him in prison and you think, well, wait a minute, aren't we? No. They're laughing at you and saying, you know what? That's not the way this works.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how this works. Your son now belongs to us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me when I tell you that. The only time a prosecutor will give you the impression that they care is if you are the victim of something. And then they have to be empathetic to you because it's their job to be empathetic to you. Understand me, family? But believe you me, in the back of their mind, they want to prosecute whoever did this to you because it looks good on their record.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good as a victory.
Mm-hmm.
Family, the number to call in for those of you who are wanting to call in is 718-664-6543. I'm getting some great comments in the blog room. And Coco, you're very welcome. I'm glad you listened to the show, and I'm glad it's coming on along. We're going to take a quick break and play some music. And we're going to pay some bills, family. We've got to pay some bills. I'm going to play something soothing, and then we're going to come back and take the gloves off. And please stick with me because I have some things that I want to release to you all that are going to make you think. I promise you, you are not going to sleep well tonight. We'll be right back, family. Thank you. Welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, family. Yeah, we're talking about the criminal justice system. In particular, we're talking about the juvenile criminal justice system, family, how they're treating our kids. They're locking them up. They're charging them with felonies. And for most of you who don't know, when you get a felony conviction, there's so many different things you can't do. You can't go to college. At least you can't apply for student loans. You can't apply for financial aid. In some states, there's certain types of licenses you can't get that may not even have anything to do with the fact that your felony conviction may have been for a bad check that you wrote. Or it might even be a felony conviction, God forbid, for a DUI. But guess what? Because you got it, you can't go work and go to college, you know, at the expense of the taxpayer. When in this country, we allow people who are here illegally to go to college, who have no business being in the country. And I do not support that. Why is it that someone who is undocumented can go and apply for a loan to go to college, to go to school, but my son or my daughter who made a mistake and is now a convicted felon can't go to school? Even if I'm in the military and I have the money through my GI Bill to send my child to school to better themselves, they're still not going to let them do it. It's crazy. It's ludicrous. Why are they flagging our children like this, family? This is what we're talking about tonight. The juvenile criminal justice system, they're out of control. And they've been out of control, quietly out of control, family. Here's the deal. This comes from Judge LaDoris Cordell. She's a judge out of Superior Court in Santa Clara County. She served, and she was both a juvenile judge, and she also worked in adult cases. Oh, before I go any further, I want to give shouts out I'll go ahead and put this out there, and then I'll give shouts out in a second. But anyway, she's a judge. She served in both the juvenile and adult cases while she worked as a Superior Court judge. And this is her opinion, family. This is her opinion. A number of recent surveys have shown that there are profound racial disparities in the juvenile justice system, that African American and Hispanic youth are more likely to be tried as adults. They are more likely to receive longer sentences, and they are more likely to be in locked facilities and on and on and on, even when charged with the same offenses as whites. Do you think that that's true? That's the question that she posed to the public. Here's the deal, family. She mentioned something here, and it says locked facilities. Y'all remember earlier in the show when I said that if you go to Gwinnett County or some of these other counties, the kids will be in detention centers, but they'll probably be in Club Med. But if they go to other counties like DeKalb or, say, Fulton County, somewhere where it's predominantly black, they're going to be in lockdown. This is what she's talking about. RYDCs or youth detention centers are not all treated the same geographically. If you find one in a white neighborhood or in a neighborhood that's predominantly Caucasian, they're not going to have the same type of rules. Most of those kids are not going to be treated as though they're prisoners or inmates. They're going to be treated as though they're out on vacation, as though they're actually in a therapeutic setting, which is what the criminal justice system was designed for originally, was to be therapeutic to our children. Okay, but what has happened is if you go in some of the other places where some of these other folks, like our people, are, they are in locked facilities, keys turning, jail slinging clothes. You go out to yard for 30 minutes a day. They feed you in an assembly line and send you on your way, just like the adult jails. They're teaching them to accept the system so that when they go into the adult facility, they understand what's going on. Family, this is the socialization process that's being taken, that's being done right up under our noses. And this is why I decided to do this type of show, because it's a socialization process, and we are victims of it. I believe absolutely, this is a response to what she said, the judge. I believe absolutely that what you have described exists in the system. The statistics prove it. They're there. What is hard is that if you go up to your average juvenile court judge, and that judge is the one who sends these kids off, we're the ones ultimately responsible for these statistics. This woman is by taking ownership, family, because in the beginning of the show, I mentioned right away, you got these asinine judges up there, and you got these greedy prosecutors that are doing this to these children. This judge is taking responsibility and supporting what I just mentioned. The judges are the reason why these statistics are existing. That judge will look you dead in the eye and say, I'm not unfair and I'm not a racist. I'm not prejudiced. I do the best that I can. And that judge is telling you the truth, which I do believe. They do the best they can. But how fair is it for someone who sits behind a bench all day and listens to hundreds of cases to judge your child in your particular case based upon a few words that are going on in front of them in a folder or a file or on a computer screen? How fair is that? This kid could have had a bad day. Does he deserve a felony? Does he deserve to be locked up with a bunch of other kids with the potential to become even more harmed? Does he deserve to be inundated into the criminal justice system? Hell no. Not at all. Not in my book. What do you think, family? The number to call in, 718-664-6543. We've got a comment here in the blog room. It says, don't get in trouble in Fayetteville. They throw the book at you because they are the richest county in Georgia. That's another thing, family. When you're dealing with a county who can afford to prosecute cases on a larger scale, you're going to be more apt to go to jail and be charged with something. I'll give you an example. Fayetteville is supposed to be one of the richest counties in Georgia. Absolutely. And guess what? When you go to jail over there, they have the money to prosecute you. And it doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if it's jaywalking. I don't care if it's riding around the street and your car, the color of your car didn't look right. If they want to prosecute you, they can do that because they have the money to do that. Whereas you go in other jurisdictions like Fulton County. Fulton County doesn't have time for little BS cases. You know what they do? They take their time and say, you know what? This one's not going to work. We're going to do this instead of that. Follow me, family? So it does depend geographically on where you are. And if they are rich and they have those unlimited, quote-unquote, resources that they like to brag about, they will prosecute your child, put them in a system, and teach them some other negative things. Absolutely. I'm going to put the number out there again before I go on with some more of this information, family. Number 718-664-6543. Folks, you can call in and give us your comments. Don't be afraid. I'm nervous, too. Trust me. I do this all the time, but I'm still nervous. All right, Judge Thomas Edwards was asked a question. This is another judge. This guy works out of the juvenile court in Santa Clara County, a division of the California Superior Court. California folks, I love y'all because y'all are so damn outspoken. It's unreal. Many of the kids we've interviewed believe that middle white class kids get a break, that they are more likely to be kept at home. They are less likely to get stiff sentences. They are more likely to be given opportunities to continue their education. Do you think that this is true? This is the judge's answer to this question. Well, all the studies and statistics say it is true. I know we talk about that a lot in our judges' educational workshops and conferences. I have yet to hear anybody who has a definitive answer. I sure as heck don't. I don't know of anybody who has a solution to it other than to simply raise the consciousness of the judges the best we're capable of doing and try to apply the resources that we have to our disposal at our disposal in a fair and equal way. That's a bunch of BS, family, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you know what? Those kids that get a break in court, they don't get a break because they're white. They get a break because they can afford an attorney. Let me tell y'all something, family. There's two phrases that everybody needs to understand. Paid attorney, court-appointed attorney. There's a difference. I don't care if you're in the juvenile system. I don't care if you're in the adult system. If you walk in that courtroom with a court-appointed attorney, let me tell you what he's thinking about. He's probably thinking about that low-ass salary that he's getting. He's probably thinking about the fact that the prosecutor riding around a BMW, and he got old get out and push. He can't even afford to pay his bills because he's paying for that law degree that he just received. And he's probably pissed off because, you know what, he's got 500 cases to deal with. He's got to figure out a way to get through each one of them and keep up with all the details on all these cases. He's got a problem. And a court-appointed attorney is not going to have time to devote to you the energy and the resources that you're going to need to work with your child's case. Now, let's switch that over. Private attorney, called paid attorney. I know it's hard, family, but this is why I say defense attorneys are part of the problem. Because you know what? We have a lot of defense attorneys out there who know what's going on. They see this shit happening. And I'm going to tell you what it is. They want to get paid. And they don't want to touch a case unless they're getting paid. What kind of crap is that? You took an oath as a lawyer to do what? Well, I know you want to get paid for your services. But hell, man, you can go to the dollar store and get half the stuff you buy in your home at a discount. Why can't we get some legal services on a discount? That's all I'm saying, family, is we need to look at that. At the end of the day, these lawyers want to get paid. They'd rather watch these kids go off the road and know that this is wrong and rather than intervene and say, hey, I'm going to stop this. They'd rather watch it happen to your child because they want to get paid. It's a system in place It's a system in place, family. The judges are getting paid because they're just sitting there getting reelected. Oh, which, by the way, family, did you all know that in most jurisdictions, your Superior Court judges are elected officials, which means, you know what, if you get tired of them sending your little boys to jail, you can all start up petitions and get them voted out because they don't think the way you want them to think. Because the judge has a duty to make sure that the trial setting is fair. That means that when a child comes up there with a particular circumstance of their case, the judge has a duty to say, you know what, hey, this is right, and throw their case out. I don't care what the prosecutor's saying. But in most cases, the judge doesn't want to make waves on each side. In most cases, they just let it flow through. Why? I wish we had a judge out there listening who could call in. And I'll tell you the worst situation I've ever seen in my life, family. I lost respect for this judge, and I lost respect for this police officer. And I'm going to tell you who they are. Judge Wong. Judge Wong in DeKalb County Superior Court. And it was Officer Jay King of the DeKalb County Police Department. Came to court and told the judge that while he was driving down the street, he watched a kid make a drug sale, cross four lanes of traffic. He decided to follow the kid. He says when he pulled him over, he stood outside the kid's car, and he says, you know what? I looked on the floorboard, and I saw a marijuana seed. The judge laughed and thought it was funny because his eagle-eye vision was able to see a marijuana seed in the carpet of the kid's car. And he pulled him out and searched him and arrested him. That was his probable cause. The judge should have thrown that crap out. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the officer had no business stopping this kid. Because how in the hell are you going to operate a car on four lanes of highway and look across four lanes of car busy at a busy time of day and you can see there's a drug? You had to have wrecked your car. You are, or at least came close to it. Think about that, family. This is the kind of crap that's going on in the system. This is why so many kids are being put up in jail. These cops half the time have no problem. You know something, I'm going to put something else out there that a lot of people don't know. Guess what? In most cases, when prosecutors have to prove their cases in court, whether it's juvenile or whether it's adult, they lose those cases. Did y'all know that, family? They lose their success rate. When you look at a prosecutor's success rate based upon the amount of cases that they say they have won, it's not based upon the cases that they've basically tried. That's a small percentage. It's based upon the plea bargains that they've had. And I'm going to tell you what they do to your children, family. This is what I wanted to show you later on in the show, family, that's going to knock y'all's boots off right here. This is it. What they do is they take your babies and they lock them up and they deny them bond or they keep them in jail. And it's the same thing with adults because they know that once you sit in that jail eating those stale-ass bologna sandwiches and eating those and not able to watch TV and they take your freedom away for a little while, you're going to be more apt to take a plea. And guess what? That plea that you're going to take, that's a notch under their belt. That's what I want to tell you, family. It's the prosecutory game that they play. Doesn't matter who it is, family. So stop thinking that these people are out for your best interest because they're not. Trust me on that, family. Now, for those of you who want to challenge that information, I'm going to say this to you. Go look it up because it's fact. And guess what? Go look it up because it's public information. It's public information, family. This is how the game is played. They lock your kids up, and by the time that poor kid's sitting in there and he can't get out and go play kickball or whatever his favorite sport is, you know what? And then the parents can't afford an attorney, a paid attorney, to come in there and fight the case. Guess what? It's plea bargaining time. When you see a court-appointed attorney walk in the door, let me tell you what's on his mind. How soon can I get this over with? How soon can I get past this so I can go play my tennis match? How soon can I get out of this so I can get back home to my wife because this is bull. This is a bunch of crap. I'm getting overworked and underpaid. And on some level, I can't fault these people. Because they are overworked and underpaid. Not many attorneys are wanting to go into the system and be court-appointed attorneys. In most cases, the judge has to force them to do that. He has to appoint them and say, you will do this case. Because they're not going to get paid for it. That means they're going to do a case for free. But ethically speaking, are they supposed to give your child the same level of service that they would give a paid customer? Hell yes, they're supposed to do it. And why are they doing it? Because the judges, and most importantly, the Bar Association in your prospective jurisdictions is allowing them to do it. Absolutely. We got some comments in the blog room. Coco D, this is another instance where taking advantage of your right to vote applies too much more than D.C. Washington. You know, D.C. Washington, Coco, that's a very interesting phenomenon that you mentioned. You know, I'm going to say this because we have listeners in the D.C. area as well. You know what, family? How many people know that when you go to the District of Columbia that you automatically lose 50% of your rights legally? Let me let y'all in on a little secret. The District of Columbia is named the District of Columbia for one reason, because it's basically a national monumental area. And guess what? They have to have special police powers in order to protect that area religiously. That means that the police can stop you in the District of Columbia, and they can search you without a warrant in most cases. Did y'all know that, family? That the probable cause does not have to exist in the District of Columbia. That's the one place that police powers are extended. Follow me, family? And the reason being is because it is the District of Columbia, okay? Period. And for those of you who don't agree with it, that live in the D.C. area, contact your congressman and send them some letters. And most importantly, tell everybody to start voting and get these clowns out of office, because I call them clowns straight up. Anyway, okay, here's another comment. You're right, Coco. We need to stop this, the local politicians, from even making it to D.C. We should never vote them in. That's right, family. Vote. You don't like what's going on, vote. Here's some more about the front line on juvenile. Oh, actually, let me get some more good stuff out about the judicial system when it comes to our kids. Here's some statistics, family, that I know y'all going to be surprised about. This comes out of 2008. Let me see. That's a 2008 study here. All right? Check this out, family. Let me get back to the top. Okay, here we go. 2008 juvenile rate of recidivism rate. Now, for those of you who don't know what the rate of recidivism means, that means that recidivism means that someone has gotten out of jail or has been arrested for an offense, and they have gone back and reoffended by committing the same type of act. That is recidivism. Now, the rate of recidivism is the rate at which this takes place. In other words, they're taking statistical numbers and saying, okay, this is how much this happens based upon how many people we arrest and lock up. All right? So with that being said, 1,493 releases, 536 returns, 273 as juveniles, 263 as an adult. They split the number in half. That means that 9 out of 10 times, family, once your child has been inundated or introduced to the criminal justice system, they have a 50% chance of returning to that system as an adult and being reincarcerated. Imagine that. 79.2% of juvenile releases had not been incarcerated in the adult facility within 3 years of their 2005 release from a juvenile institution. That basically means that 80% of these people have been rearrested within a three-year period, family. Let's think about that, all right? That's a high rate of recidivism for our juveniles. So here's the question. What are we really teaching them by locking them up? We're not teaching them anything. What's happening is the state is making money, because just like the adult system, when they lock you up and they give you that number, they get a paycheck for having them in there. The same thing with the school system. When your child goes to school and checks in at school, guess what? The moment they take attendance, that's why attendance is so important, because when they send that off to the state, they get paid for having that child in the school. A lot of folks don't know that. It's a paycheck. A lot of folks don't realize that, you know what, a lot of the other people are taking their children and they're putting them in what's called privately run schools. These are homeschool institutions that are privately run, privately owned, because they have set up a criteria according to what the state wants that allows them to operate as a homeschool organization. Think about that, family. I mentioned Mr. Farrakhan in the first part of the show. One of the things he said about black people is black people need to learn how to educate their own. It is not so much that he wants to provide a feeling of separatism, but guess what? We're just not getting it. He also said that sending your child to the American school system is almost like sending the fox to the hen house. Fox is hungry. He's going to send him in the house with the hens. What are you going to do? He's going to eat. Guess what? You're sending your child to the very same institution that's preparing him to fall in life later if he's not fortunate enough to see through that and have a great supporting system in place, which, unfortunately, I'm going to say it like it is, family, a lot of our children don't. Some of this stuff falls on our parents. That's where we're going with this thing, and I know it hurts for some of us to hear it, but parents, we got to be accountable. We got to realize what's going on, and we got to step up and be parents to these kids. We got to stop this madness. Your kid's acting out, something's wrong, whether that kid's telling you or not. You know something? Michael Blazer said something that was so important. He said, family, we need to learn how to talk to our kids. We need to learn how to listen to our kids. I don't care what it is. You need to listen to them. Because at the end of the day, some of these things that I'm talking about right now, almost 100% can be avoided. I said almost 100% can be avoided. Trust me on that, family. We got some more comments in the blog room. It says, the people need to also know that many attorneys are not with firms as they claim to be. It is a part of their marketing tactics. Many attorneys are just renting an office from the major attorney firms. They are deceiving. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this about that comment right there, lovely one. That's a personal choice. Family, if you're going to purchase, if you're going to go out and get an attorney, my advice is to research that guy before you go and pay him a dime. Because at the end of the day, most people get shocked by the fact that they're in the system or their kid is in the system, and they run around saying, I got to get a lawyer. Family, let me tell you something. I know you need a lawyer, but guess what? Take your time. If you got the money and the resources, it doesn't take a whole lot to research. And to ask this attorney, hey, how many cases do you try? Because let me tell you something. Don't ask them how many cases they handle. They'll tell you all, oh, yeah, hey, we can go in there and work this out. When an attorney tells you they're going to work something out, that means they're going to set you up for a plea. Hear me out loud. When they say, I'm going to work this out, that means they set you up for a plea. You want to know from this lawyer two things. Number one, do you try cases? And number two, how much are you charging? Period. That's at the end of the day, because a trial lawyer, if your child is innocent, let's just take it off and call it what it is, family. You're going to have to get ready to go to trial to support your child. There's a woman here in Georgia, a school teacher, who was just recently charged with 22 counts of child molestation. She went to court here in North Georgia, and she won her case, family. And let me tell you how what she's doing now. She filed a federal suit, and I'm going to tell you why she did it. She said because it cost her family a lot of money to get lawyers to represent her. So she filed a federal suit. Let me tell you what she filed it under. She said, you know what? Y'all ain't had no business arresting me because technically they had no probable cause. Family, remember that word probable cause when I said earlier how the police need to have probable cause to interact with you on a certain level to go further than just a normal traffic stop? They have to have a probable cause, which means reason for them to do that. Let me tell y'all something, family, and this is huge right here. Some of y'all are not going to sleep on this one. Guess what? If the police lock you up and they charge you with a crime and the prosecutors come back and prosecute you with that crime and you go to court and you win your case and you can turn around and say, you know what, they didn't have probable cause to arrest me. If you got a savvy attorney who can read this and let you know, hey, they didn't have a reason to stop you or to fill you in the first place and lock you up, you are going to be like this white lady I'm telling you about in North Georgia. You go and find your federal lawyer and you go and say, listen, I don't have money to pay you up front. But if the lawyer feels like you have a case, you don't have to pay him money up front. If he's going to work with you, if he feels like you have a really good case to sue the jurisdiction that locked you up, because a lot of people feel like, oh, it ain't nothing we can do about this. There is something you can do. If you were violated and there was no probable cause, because a lot of prosecutors seem to operate under what they call the colors of the law, which means they cannot be sued or they cannot be held accountable. That's a bunch of bull. Trust me, family. They can be held accountable. If they commit if you can articulate in court that they have committed an egregious act, so egregious that they were reckless in their conduct in charging you with this crime and prosecuting you, you're damn right you can sue them. You can take them right to federal court, and if you got a savvy enough lawyer, like I said, anybody can look good or bad on paper. Hell, on paper, I look like I'm a demon. But folks that know me, y'all know I'm a great man. That's a fact, family. The number to call is 718-664-6543. That's right. I told y'all I was going to knock it off and stick it to it. But y'all hold on. I got a real good song that I'm going to play for this part of the show, because if I rule the world, this shit would not happen.
Without cops harassing, imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind my waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercover. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blend read, the world is mine.
If I ruled the world,
imagine that.
I free all my stars. I love them, baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I ruled the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time.
The way to be
paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range, cast, lost property to bath, free at last, brand new whips to crash, and we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do? Trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Open the eyes to the lies, history's so foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn tripe life to lavish. Political prisoner, set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I think Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It's down foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa. Africa. Imagine that. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth, scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the 245 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all.
If I rule the world, none of this would exist. Believe that. Please believe that. I'm talking in the chat room with Sassy J. Sassy J put some stuff out there, too. She likes the fact that she also mentioned that she, before I put her comments out there, she mentioned that she used to work in a juvenile system. But she mentioned parents should be held accountable. She said the parents should be held accountable. And you know what? That's a huge part of this thing, family. And we're not going to let the parents off the hook because at the beginning of the show, you know, what if they, let me put your comments back out there, Sassy J. Sassy J came back and just said that, yes, a lot of people use the crutch that I'm single parent and these kids are for me making it. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading what you put in there, but that she's having a hard time with the kids and it's too much for her to do with working and going back and forth and they have no respect and love for the system. You know what? That's true. But here's the thing, you know, on most of the shows that I do, and this is to address what you're saying, Sassy J, number one, we do have too many fathers that are missing in action. That's a fact, okay? But you know something? Steve Harvey said something about black men that I don't absolutely agree with, is that we didn't learn how to be men the generation before. No. Let me tell y'all something. And I want everybody in the sound of my voice to think about this. Back in the day when Clinton them came in office, they started promoting this I Don't Need a Man campaign. And a lot of women took hold of that. A lot of sisters took a hold of that. And now we are seeing the repercussions of that. Now, what you want to do is you want to look back 20 and 30 years later, those same young men that a lot of these women were feeling like, you know what, I don't need a man to raise this child. And unfortunately, there were some things going on in some relationships. Some of these men, you ran them off. Because men don't really necessarily want to deal with a lot of garbage. I'm going to tell you that up front. And some folks say that makes you a weak man. Hey, I don't know. In my opinion, if there's some garbage on the table, I'm not going to deal with it. But at the end of the day, a lot of folks, a lot of women, assumed the role of mother and father and thought that they were doing the damn thing right. And this is the end result of it. And I say that to say this, not to put our women on the front, on the burner, but I say to say this, listen, family, you need a man in your life. You need a man to raise a child, especially a male child. I don't care if it's white or black. I don't care if it's a white man with a black child. I don't care if it's a black man with a white child. You need a man in your life to raise a child. Men are not to be taken lightly as parents. A woman told me something that did not make sense to me. She said, you're just a man. Men don't care like women do. Yes, we do. We love our children just like you do. Absolutely. Even when you do evil things like use them against us in the child support system and think it's okay. We love our children just the same. We just want to let you know that we're not going to stand for that foolishness and we're going to move on with our life. That's the bottom line. So what happens is when we have a breakdown in our family, we have a breakdown in our family, when the men are gone for whatever reason, let me tell y'all something, family. That's the issue in our community, is our families have broken down. And we need to find a way to fix that. We need to find a way to get our families out of the social systems that are put in place. Because they're crushing us. They're hurting us. They're hurting us. They're locking our men up. They're deleting us. They're making us obsolete, family. You know, a woman told me something that makes so much sense. The woman says she's tired of looking at every time she turns around, men have issues with the court and child support. So, you know what? Let me ask y'all something. Who's putting them in the system? Now, I'm not saying that men shouldn't do the right thing. I'm not saying that at all. I think you should take care of your child. When it's done correctly, you should take care of your child. I don't think there's any ifs, ands, buts about that. You should take care of your child, and that should be the end of that. But what's happening is men are getting beat over the head with a lot of other things. And so are some women, because I've had women on my shows who've gone through some of the same things that men have gone through. Going on to child support and these other things that are taking these women out of the picture. And the men are going on and raising the kids, not realizing that, you know what, homeboy, homegirl, you need that woman to raise that child. Raising a child is not a single parent deal. I don't care who you are. Period. Gentile says, does a man have to be in a woman's life? Cannot the son be raised by the father without the mother? You know something? I disagree. The son cannot be raised by the father without the mother. I think the son needs both parents. I think the mother's love and nurturing skills comes into play at the early stages of the child's life, and then the manhood aspect of it takes over when he goes to the father to learn those things about manhood that make sense. The father drives the engine. The mother puts the gas in the engine. You follow what I'm saying? We need both parents, period. We need both parents. But I want to say this, you know, to some of those folks out there who here's a phrase, walk a mile in my shoes. Look at somebody and say, walk a mile in my shoes. You know, think about the things that you've been through, the decisions that you've made because of the things that you've been through, and the folks that have tried to give you advice on how to handle these things, especially when it comes to your kids, and say, walk a mile in my shoes. And it's a true fact what this lady says, that most of these people give up because they feel like, you know, wait, I'm single, and I'm just, you know something? Think about this. Why are you single? Why is the father not there? And as a mediator, I say that to say this. As a mediator, in most situations that I have sat down and mediated, when it comes to parents and with children, divorce situations, family, when people sit down after the anger has subsided, when they talk about things after the fact, when they figure out, you know what, I don't have to always attack you. Guess what happens? It's a remarkable thing that happens. People come together, and they agree to something, and they walk away with a sense of, you know what, we can do this. In most cases, when there's children involved, those parents walk away, and you know what the key word they learn is? Co-parenting. They learn how to co-parent. Because guess what? They've agreed to stop the bickering. They've agreed to stop using the kids as tools and pawns. And this is what takes place. For the benefit of the child, 9 out of 10 times, once parents that are separated learn how to co-parent, guess what happens? Your child has a better chance in life, has a far greater chance in life of making it. We got another call on the line. We're going to open it up for her, 404-805. Go with your comments.
Hello. Hi, this is Cherie again. You're touching a nerve, and I can't help but to comment.
we do touch nerves.
Okay, you got me going. I agree with you. I agree with you as it relates to the, and my kids are older now. However, in all cases, let me go back to saying what about it's a male and a female to adequately raise children in a household, because you need the yin and the yang in order to pull it off successfully, especially when a male and a female. However, in all cases, depending on the, in my cases, it was drug related on the ex-husband's side, you know, he wasn't exactly 100% adequate to do what he needed to do. I wish that he was. He pulled it off later to the best of his ability. I agree with you as it relates to this. Specifically, if they're left to their own devices, they have to do the best that they can. Mm-hmm.
Sherry, you're breaking up just a little bit. You're going in and out.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm sorry. What I was saying is that women, black women in particularly, we try to do the best that we can. However, I do agree that, you know, it takes a male and a female, father and mother, to do the best adequate job, you know, ultimately. But, you know, I don't think that we have to cripple our male children as it relates to male bashing, you know, if we're conscious about that we're raising a male black child in a non-male environment. You know what I'm saying? I was lucky I was raised by my father, so I think I could do more to try to even the roles, but I cannot say I was as good as a male. So mm-hmm. we do need our male, black males in the household, you know what I'm saying, to raise the black men. But if they're not there for whatever reasons, we have to do the best that we can.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
You know what? Let me say this to you, okay? I agree with you, okay? I'm going to agree with you. I agree with you, but here's the deal. The term best that we can, how do we define that term best that we can? Does that mean that you give up because guess what? My baby's daddy won't be here, such and such. Let me tell you what my mother did. My mother has been on my shows with me, and she can verify this. It has been verified on my shows. She raised four boys by herself. Bless her heart. Yes, she did. She had males in our life that were around us, but she did it by herself. But here's the one thing that happened. We had uncles that stepped in and said, hey, boy, hey, that ain't the way it's supposed to work. You see, let me tell you something. What I mentioned earlier was this. When you're sitting in your house across the street and you see that juvenile, you see that child that's outside that's cutting up, doing some shit he ain't got no business doing, we tend not to say anything because we have gotten away from one thing. We have gotten away from our family structure. But let me tell you something. What's even more important is, you know what? They used to tell us that it takes a village to raise a child. That means that back in the day when you had a single mom who had a child out of wedlock, whatever you want to call it, the village would come around that woman, and we would raise that child as our own. We don't do that anymore. Part of the reason is because we're too damn afraid that somebody's going to call the police and have us locked up. Then we're going to be on probation. You understand what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. Yeah. The bottom line is, I know you're struggling, and I know you got your hands full, but guess what?
Right.
If you got a baby out there, there's people in your village around you. I don't care if your village is the Cascades. I don't care if it's California. I don't care if it's Los Angeles. I don't care where your village is. There's other people in your village. Guess what? You black folks in the village use the village theory. And when you see these kids out here cutting up, step in and say something to them. When you see them out here with their pants dragging on their backs, step up and say something to them.
Thank
step
you.
Up and say something about this. Because at the end of the day, guess what?
We have to come. Yeah, we have to come
but
back.
Guess what?
To
but wait a minute. Guess what, Sherry? At the end of the day, guess what? That same kid that you're looking at that's doing this stuff that he ain't got no damn business doing, that's the same little asshole that's going to grow up and going to break in your house and going to do something to you. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
So let's think about that. Let's think about that. If we see these cats out here doing things that they got no business doing, and you sit there and say, it's not my problem, then let me ask you one question, all you theorists out there. No. Let me ask you theorists out there. Then somebody tell me whose problem is it if it's not
your
problem.
It's our problem. We got to wake up. It's our problem. for surely our problem because they're crawling in our windows and then somebody's going to get killed because I got a gun. You know what I'm saying? And I got a gun because for those kinds of reasons, to protect myself, not because I like it, but because I feel, you know, the signs of the time is that it,
you got a gun. You got a gun because you want to shoot some stuff.
No, I got a gun to protect myself. I got a gun to protect myself. I'm telling you. Like the caller before, I live in Fayetteville. You know what I'm saying?
She said, "Oh, I got to kick it over and protect myself." But you know what? But you know something? I'm gonna say this to the family. This is serious talk because you know what? This is, you know, some people are looking around, and I heard so many women. I'm a single man in Atlanta. I heard so many women say this. This, all the men are just locked up. They just let me tell y'all something. Think about this. History. Now, this is not what I'm coming up with. History tells you that things happen in seasons. Remember this, because those kids that grew up with our fathers in their homes, it is now the season for that action to reap what has been sown. They are lost. They are lost. You follow me? We have an opportunity because we live in an age where we are the most educated people that we've ever been in our life. And I say that because when our people fought back in the 60s and the 70s when they were fighting for their rights, they didn't have internet access. They didn't have fax machines. They didn't have all these other things. Them people, when they went on boycotts, you know what they did? They had to walk to work. Some people walked holes in their shoes. They did all these things so that all of us that are educated right now would have the right to sit down and have the conversation that we have. They have given us more to work with now than we ever had as a people. I'm talking about Black, I'm talking about Hispanic, and I'm talking about those Caucasians out there who are fitting underneath the poverty level that happen to be subjected to what I go through. I'm talking to all of them. We all have opportunities in front of us. Now, here's where I'm going with that. Why in the hell is it that we cannot stand up and do something about what the hell is going on in our communities? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. We have become selfish, inundated with the system, and we are codependent. We have become socialized. And let me tell y'all something. The easiest animal to capture is the one that's willing to be captured. We have allowed ourselves to be captured. Okay? We have allowed ourselves to be captured. And these folks did not have to come in here and fire one shot to do it. In too many instances, we give ourselves over. We need to stop that, and we need to stop and pick our kids up. Now, I ain't talking about some of these grown folks out here that's still breaking their houses. I'm talking about some of these kids that's coming up. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. Y'all people that listen to the show, y'all know somebody who has a kid who needs help, who needs somebody to talk to them, or so forth and so on. Stop all this madness, family, and get involved in some kid's life. Michael Basin is going around this country, and he's doing mentorship. He's starting to spark mentorship. We can become a part of that. We can become a part of that family. Step it up to the plate. But, Sherry, since you called back, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get some final comments because we got 7 minutes left in the show. Then I'm going to give some final comments.
Do I get a final comment? Okay. Well, this is what I would like to say. As it relates to stepping out and stepping out there, my issues are a little different. I stepped out on the foreclosure. I have protested at the Federal Reserve with Reverend Jesse Jackson, been on TV, dealt with that kind of thing as it relates to this predatory lending and foreclosure stuff. I have a case pro se fighting against the institution as it relates to this illegal foreclosure type things, as it relates to being in a non-judicial foreclosure state. I know that's a little different. However, I'm dealing with the system and taking it on firsthand as a pro sayer, not knowing what I'm doing, but I'm learning as I go. And I think we, like what you're doing, like what you're trying to say, have people understand the system so they can deal with it and learn how to deal with it fairly and understand what their rights are as it relates to the Fifth Amendment. I mean, that takes some knowledge because I'm learning it as it relates to protecting what I have worked so hard for, not to be underclassmen, you know, as it relates to, you know, just be whatever, I'm going to take your crap and that's it. You know, fight me for it, damn it. Fight me. Fight me.
Mm-mm.
I worked hard. Fight me for it.
You ready for it, huh?
Well, I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down fighting. I'll put it that way.
What? Well, you see, we need some soldiers like that. Man, that's something. Mm-hmm. Well, Sherry, you know what? We appreciate you calling back and calling in and sharing your comments with us. And as always, I like to tell any guest that chimes in with me that you are most welcome to call in at any time on any of the shows that are open that I do here. With that being said, I want to send shouts out to my family in New Zealand. That's right, family. We have folks in the New Zealand area, and we have family in the UK that listen to the show, and I see you all in the chat rooms. And I appreciate you all, as always, coming in and giving your comments to the show. But, family, here's the thing. We're talking about the juvenile system. We're talking about our kids, our babies. You know something? I know some of y'all are tired. I know some of y'all are inundated with a lot of different things. But you know what? To give up on your child is the worst thing in the world that you could ever do. Believe me when I tell you that. I have a 26-year-old son that was out of my life for a number of years, and he has come back into my life. And he and I are so glad that this has happened. But it was not by design. It was not by our design. It was by outside. It was by design from an outside hand. So, family, what I'm telling you is, you know something? We need to get back to whatever it takes to make the family structure work. We are broken. I'm talking about all of us, regardless of your ethnic background. We are broken as a people. It just happens to be more prevalent in the black community than it does in the other communities, and that's a shame. I don't think it's entirely by design, family. But you know what? Remember this. When you're talking about the system, y'all need to remember this. These people are getting paid off of our mistakes. They're getting paid off the fact that we cannot get along as a people. Every time your child goes to school, every time a child support check goes out, every time your son or your daughter ends up in the sheriff's department, every time your child interacts with the criminal justice system in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and or your loved one, anybody, and they are taken into custody for any reason, they're getting paid. So think about that. Does it make it that much easier for you to adjust and say, you know what, hey, at the end of the day, now one day they started teaching them how to be whatever they are from birth or when they started school. They started inundating them into the system when they went into school and began grade school. Understand that, family, because it is a complete system. So with that being said, I want to say this to you all, my soldiers out there. Next Tuesday, I ain't forgot about the probation and the parole department. We're going to talk about those clowns in the adult system. Y'all didn't know that those folks out on parole and probation, they got to pay fines and fees. They got to pay stuff to stay on probation. I'm going to tell y'all how that works. The greedy government, family, the greedy government. I'm going to try to expose them. So y'all tune in next Tuesday night. And I didn't forget about my night riders out there. I just didn't have the information in front of me to shout y'all out. But give me a call. Y'all tune in with me next Tuesday. It's 7 o'clock, same time, same channel, and we're going to chop it up about the probation and the parole department. Because y'all need to know, just because you're on probation or parole, that don't mean you don't have rights. And Mr. Don E.O.T. Adams is going to put that out in the front for you. Holler at you.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch then fight.
Come on, I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear in no stamp. Stamp all looks at you looking for nothing but rednecks for 400 years if you check. Don't worry, D Hack was a number one jam. Damn if I said you could slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Okay, talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Future of Public Enemy got a